her life. If you know Sarah, she's often here with her husband and their four children that they have adopted. And that has been quite an interesting path, and not a level path for them. And so Sarah shared some of that journey with me. She says, early in their relationship, they had discussed having children. And she knew that she wanted kids, and she hoped that Steve, who she was dating, would too, and he agreed that he wanted kids in his life. But not long after they discussed that, they discussed that it might be hard for them and impossible for them to have biological children. And that does matter to some people, but it didn't matter to Sarah and Steve. They knew they wanted to be parents, however it happened. So they got married and had trouble getting pregnant, tried some mild medical intervention, and had some side effects from that would only worsen, Sarah said, with upping the scale of that medical intervention. It was a pretty hard blow to take, Sarah told me. She said she felt defective and alone. She prayed and grieved a lot. And then she said, God reminded me in his gentle way that being a parent doesn't rely on biology. Through a series of small roadblocks, they were led to adopt through China. There were a lot of surprises and ups and downs, and their wait time was much longer than they were expecting. But when their referral finally came, it came for a baby who would have been too young to be referred to them when they first thought they were getting a referral, and that was their daughter, Caitlin. Sarah said, those months were awful, but I wouldn't trade Caitlin for anything in the world. And here you can see Caitlin just last week here at Grace. She had her first communion here with us. Well, the wait times in China continued to grow, and they wanted to have more kids, so they decided to explore other options besides China. So they learned about Taiwan adoption through a total coincidence. It seemed to be a good fit for them because Taiwan and China share many of the same cultures, traditions, and language. That's when they got Colby. His adoption went along pretty easily, Sarah said. On adoption day, they were able to meet his wonderful foster family, and Sarah could tell he was very well loved and cared for. But he also rejected Sarah totally, wanted nothing to do with her. She didn't even know what to do. She said she finally had to let go and give it all to God. She said it wasn't easy, but when I was finally able to let it all go, I felt a peace I'd never felt before or since. It wasn't until a few weeks after they first met that Colby would let him hold her or even look at him. But she says today, she and Colby share a very special bond. I asked if it was okay, and she said I could show this picture. As you can see, Colby is a very full of life and funny child. And Sarah believes that God truly shaped their relationship and the bond that they share today. Then along came Carter. She said he was the easiest addition to their family once they found him. They had some worry because since they had adopted the two other kids, Sarah had had a bout of cancer. But that proved to be just a worry of hers in the end. But they thought Carter was going to be a girl. They asked specifically for a girl in their application, and Sarah had this feeling that she was going to be having a daughter. But there were no girls that were matched up with them. And finally, it occurred to Sarah that if there were boys that needed home that would be a good fit for their family, why would she not say yes? So they prayed about it, called their agency, and said they'd be open to a boy. And just 2 weeks later, they got an email with Carter's picture. But this idea of having a daughter was something that was nagging at Sarah. It was a feeling she couldn't let go. So she prayed about it again. Then God truly moved her to bring home a girl also, and she thought, there's no way my husband's going to agree to this, but she couldn't get rid of that feeling. So she wrote a letter to her husband explaining her feelings, gave it to him on Christmas, and by New Year's Eve, he was on board to bring home a girl. She says, this has to be the hand of God working in our lives. But there was no girl matched for them, so they just came home that Christmas with Carter, the next Christmas with Carter, and Sarah still felt this hole in her heart. Then, by March of that year, so 3 months later, they agreed with each other and felt this push from God to be put on the adoption list again for a girl, that girl that they felt was meant for them. And within 2 weeks of that, they were paired with Molly Kate. Sarah says, Molly Kate walked into our lives on December 2nd, 2012, and she is joy embodied. If you know Molly Kate, you know that is true. She says, if there was ever joy from ashes, Molly Kate is that joy. She's brought so much love and light into their lives. She says the arrival of Molly Kate restored her faith in a way she couldn't have imagined when she was going through all those many trials. Sarah said, I don't know that I'll ever be able to say I'm thankful for the trials that have shaped our family, but I do know with every fiber of my being that God brought goodness and joy into our lives out of every one of them, and that I would walk through those fires all over again without hesitation to reach what lays on the other side. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth both had their challenges with God also. They also had no children. They both were descendants of Aaron, who, if you remember, was Moses' brother and helped him with his speaking duties as the leader of the people of Israel. So he's thought of as the first high priest of Israel. So Zechariah is in the temple one day following his family's duties to do priestly duties, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to him. And it's not just any angel, it's the angel Gabriel, who is also the one who appeared to Mary to tell her that she would carry the Savior of the world. So Gabriel tells Zechariah that he and Elizabeth are going to be parents, and that they're to name their son John, and that he would prepare the way for the Savior, which Zechariah could not believe because he was, as the Bible says, well advanced in years. Now, some of you out there may be well advanced in years, and just imagine if this happened to you. Would you believe that? Well, when the day finally comes, well, so he doesn't believe it, and he is not able to speak as a result of that until the baby is born and named. So the baby's finally born and named, and Zechariah is finally able to write down that his name is John, and then he can speak. And he says this truly beautiful speech, which we heard read today. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us. And then he speaks about his son, John. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins. And then he says what I think are some of the most poetic and beautiful words in the Bible. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. After months of not being able to speak, the first words out of Zechariah's mouth are words of praise. God sent the Holy Spirit to give him these words of truth that shine darkness into our lives thousands of years later. Zechariah had doubt in God's goodness and power, and don't we all sometimes? But God used his doubt to show his amazing goodness and power. We have doubts, and we all go through trials. And none of us are perfect. None of us are faithful to God always. Malachi says in our reading, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? None of us can do that. None of us are blameless. That is why God sent his son Jesus, to say that we can put that burden of perfection down. We can let go of that unattainable because it's impossible. And since it's the Christmas season, I'm going to repeat that. Put the burden of perfection down. It's impossible. Your house will never be perfectly decorated. Your children, whether young or adult, will never be perfectly well-behaved. Your life might not look like the perfect Christmas card or commercial that we see so much of this year. You may be going through trials right now and not feel very merry. Maybe you've made some big mistakes this year. But that is not what matters to God. We don't have to be perfect to get the perfect gift of Jesus Christ. I'm not up here preaching because I say and do the right things all the time. I am up here and I am a Christian because I can't imagine going through those trials of life without knowing that God will use me, mess ups and all, for God's good in the world. The Bible tells us that God promises to make something good out of the storms that can bring devastation to our lives. Our trials and things that we go through in life can refine us like a fire burns away all the bad stuff. They can clean us up fresh and new like soap. The goodness that comes from them is a gift from God, who loves us as we are and who offers us bandages for our wounds and new life after we've gone through hell. Because Jesus already went through that for us. He smooths out the rough patches. He brings us up to walk on a level ground. He shines light for us in our darkness. And he guides our feet into the ways of peace. Even if your life is not perfect, Jesus still comes. Even if your family lets you down, Jesus is still there for you. Even if you feel unlovable, Jesus still loves you. In your trials, Jesus is with you. Take a moment now of prayer to prepare to welcome Jesus again into our lives and our world, and to also pray for those in your life who are going through trials. Amen.